Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. David prayed in Psalm 41, "All who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine the worst for me. They say a deadly thing is poured out on him. He will not rise again from where he lays." You know, in our everyday speech, the word enemy might be a bit of an overstatement of our situation. Now, be sure, the devil, the world, and our sinful nature are certainly our mortal enemies. They oppose us with deadly intent, but those are spiritual enemies, not physical human enemies who look us in the eye. Not many of us have those sorts of enemies these days, thanks be to God, but King David and our Lord Jesus did. Even if there might be loveless people in your life who drum their fingers waiting for you to die so that they can have your money, those people will hopefully not scheme to commit murder. Treacherous, murderous men schemed against David. "They imagined the worst for me," said David. "They say a deadly thing is poured out on him." Christ Jesus our Lord likewise endured the deadly designs of murderers. The chief priests and the elders of the people plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and to kill him. Your and my situations are measurably different. We do not yet have people who directly seek our deaths. Most of our enemies are likely less violent, people who are just plain old mean, people who speak evil about us, perhaps, people who seem oddly gratified by our pain, people who selfishly take but refuse to give, people who willingly commit injustice and leave us feeling miserable, or people who sometimes make us wish that we actually were dead. Maybe the worst thing about such people is that they seem to get away with it. But rest assured, those who treat you badly will not get away with it. See, David's enemies thought that they would get away with their injustices against him. They poured out a deadly thing for him, then foolishly said concerning him, "He will not rise again from where he lies." But I tell you the truth, they were wrong. No one who dies ever stays dead. All people shall rise, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Jesus also spoke the truth that gives shape to all eternity when he declared, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear the voice and come out, those who have done good or lived in faith to Christ, to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." These words speak the certainty of the resurrection of the body. David lived in that certainty. Jesus of Nazareth embodies that certainty. And you and I, we have been baptized into the same certainty. St. Paul writes, "You not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. And if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." See, the certainty of the resurrection allowed David to live in confidence and in hope, even while his enemies said he will not rise again from where he lies. Now, David knew very well that he would rise indeed. And that knowledge gave David comfort and power. First, David's faith in the resurrection indicated that whatever he might have been required to suffer, his suffering would not last forever. It would be temporary. David's psalms are full of the hope of the resurrection, even while he teetered on the brink of death. The resurrection is why David could confidently pray and why you and I can pray with equal confidence. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around, from Psalm 3, verse 6. And I will tell of your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you, Psalm 22, 22. And yet again, I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, Psalm 27, 13. Now, relief from suffering is only the first comfort of the resurrection. The second comfort is this: vindication. Vindication is when all wrongs get made right. Vindication happens when those who suffer losses get their losses returned to them. Have you suffered unanswered injustice so that you long for and that you wait for vindication? If so, you're not alone. The souls of countless Christian martyrs wait with you. They loudly cry out from the pages of the Word, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood? All who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine the worst for me. See, David knew that although his enemies might win a battle here or there, they could not win the war. David knew and trusted that he would be vindicated. You shall too. That is why David could also pray, and that is why you can pray with him as well. All my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled. They shall turn back and be put to shame in a moment, from Psalm 6. His mischief returns upon his own head, from Psalm 7, 16, and again in Psalm 41. By this I know that you, Lord, delight in me. My enemy will not shout in triumph over me. But you have set me in your presence forever. How do we know, how can we be assured that David's enemies did not finally get away with it? I mean, more to the point, how do we know that your enemies will not get away with what they have done to you? Well, we know these things because the enemies of Jesus could not and did not get away with their plans against him. Right? Psalm 41 speaks in the voice of the Christ, as surely as it speaks in the voice of King David. All who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine the worst for me. They say, a deadly thing is poured out on him. He will not rise again from where he lies. The enemies of Jesus were so desperate that he not rise again from where he lies that they posted a guard and they imposed a seal upon his tomb. The chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and they said, Sir, we remember how this impostor said while he was still alive, after 3 days, I will rise. Therefore, order the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people that he has risen from the dead. And the last fraud would be worse than the first. And Pilate said to them, Well, you have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can. And so they went. They made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. But you know what? That plan didn't work. Jesus rose from the dead. God the Father crowned him with glory and honor. Jesus was vindicated in his resurrection. And that means you will too. Those who have committed injustices against you shall not remain unanswered forever. For those who have harmed you have truly only harmed themselves. You shall gain back all that has been taken away from you by selfish hands. You shall rise again from where you finally are laid down, and King David shall rise with you in the power of Christ, who rose before you both. And you shall say on that great and glorious day with David and with Jesus, you have upheld me because of my integrity and set me in your presence forever. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our victor over sin and death. Amen.